You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. This is the Civic Media Network. It's 6 minutes after eight right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you are with us. If you want to get involved in the program, you always can at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Every day we are complaining about gas prices. Everybody is struggling with high gas prices, whether you are driving somewhere, whether you are a farmer trying to pay for diesel, if you are a truck driver dealing with that, everybody is. Well, some experts have predicted that people will be rethinking their summer travel plans because of fuel costs, higher flights, airfares, all of that. But early indicators tell a more hopeful story in the North Woods. Visitor numbers to the area over Memorial Day weekend are giving business owners hope that summer season will be successful. So we thought, why not talk to a business owner in the North Woods? That's how we have Lena Motola here. She is the owner of Lena's Northern Pines Resort. It is up in near Butternut Lake.
Yep.
Butternut Lake. Yes. And she's here to join us to talk about the hopes for the summer and the challenges of North Woods business owners. Lena, thanks for being here. We do appreciate your time today. So I guess I'll start with this because it was the focus of the story that brought us to you. How was business at Northern Pines over Memorial Day? And historically, has that been for you a good indicator of what the summer will be like?
Well, good morning, everybody. My pleasure to be here with you, Brian and Jamie. I appreciate everybody reaching out to me. In answer to your question, Memorial Day was a very good day for us. Our weekend, rather, up here at the Northern Pines. It is an indicator of how we feel the summer will be for us. So very exciting. The turnout was very good.
That's excellent.
And we're glad to hear that, for sure. And when it comes to summer tourism for the Northern Pines Resort, how important is it for businesses just like yours and to that local economy of the Butternut area, Lena?
It's important in many ways, not only for my business, but for those people that travel and want a vacation and they lodge with us. They're also coming through the local town of Park Falls and Butternut. They stop for gas. They stop for extra groceries. I have 10 lodging units here at the Northern Pines, and some of them have full kitchens. So people are stopping within the local area to load up in order to reside with us and enjoy, whether it's a 3, 4, 5 day stay down on beautiful Butternut Lake.
Now, northernpines.net is the website for if you want to check out Lena's Northern Pines Resort, and why wouldn't you? But we were focusing on tourists, and are people still going to come to that area? But how have rising fuel costs affected you at the Northern Pines?
Fuel costs are always a concern for everybody. I do not have gas on site. My concern is the dent in people's pocketbooks ahead of time in getting gas, being able to afford to travel. A lot of people travel 6, 7, 8 hours to our resort, and some of them are hauling boats, and you got to take in that extra cost factor, too, of refueling your boats just to enjoy yourself out on the lake. I do have 3 pontoons for rental. That comes into play also.
Now, when you have guests coming in and out and you're doing the check-in, check-out process, are you hearing anything from them about, you know, are they talking about the gas prices, what it took for them to get there, or are they just happy to be on vacation, Lena?
It's a combination of both, Jamie. Some people, there's a little bit of grumblings when you sit and you talk with them that, oh, it was expensive to get here. But other people are just absolutely delighted to get away from work, get away from the everyday bump and grind, and come out and enjoy themselves out on the lake and have a nice little campfire. And we've got a beautiful restaurant also. It's like a supper club with great dining and a great view of the lake.
Lena Motola is our guest. She's the owner of Lena's Northern Pines Resort in Butternut Lake. Northernpines.net is the website to check it out. Well, you mentioned a couple things, so tell it. I am just now becoming familiar with your place through your website. It looks gorgeous. tell people who may be thinking of coming up to the North Woods, tell us about the Northern Pines Resort.
And it's an absolute gem on the lake. My husband and I have owned it now for 2 years. We're the proud new proprietors. It's a supper club fashion on the inside. We have the hot buffets. We have breakfast on Saturday and Sunday mornings. We have prime rib on Saturday nights. Friday night is our seafood buffet. We have buy one, get one free pizzas on Wednesdays, $10 Tuesdays with our burgers and fries and sandwiches. And nice. Going back to breakfast, buffet breakfast, Saturday, Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. till noon. For those that are snowmobiling, those that are ATVers, the trails come right through our property there. And we have 10 units for lodging that are available year-round.
I've had an opportunity to visit Lena's Resort when I've been up visiting our civic properties in Park Falls, and it is absolutely beautiful. Lena, what are the bookings looking like for the rest of the summer? Is everything full? Do you guys have some capacity for anybody who might be interested in checking you out?
Oh, Jamie, July and August are pretty packed, but there is a little wiggle room in there during the week. The weekends are pretty well taken right now. We have, we're proud to say, we have 6 wedding receptions happening between July and September.
Holy buckets.
And there's a 60-year Marine Corps reunion going on where they've rented the whole place for 5 days in late August.
Wow.
You do not have to reside with us in order to rent a pontoon. Pontoons, you can come to the site. They have to stay on Butternut Lake. But if you want to take your family out for a day out on the lake, that is no problem. Just get a hold of me.
That sounds terrific. With the concerns, and I'm glad to hear that you guys did well over Memorial Day weekend, and the numbers seem to prove out that other businesses in the area have done that. Are local businesses or the chambers of commerce looking at different ways? It doesn't sound like you need to worry, but were there contingency plans to try to draw more visitors in if things did not go or start to not go as well?
I don't know so much on the chambers what their game plan was, but mine was for discounted pricing if things were to have gone south. A nice thing about Park Falls, who's just 2 minutes down the road from me, they passed new regulations on the streets where with the ATVs, UTVs, they can ride on more. They have more street access now in the town of Park Falls that leads out to my place of business, which was exciting when they passed that last year.
Yeah, because then you could drive the ATV to dinner.
Yes, yes.
Get that seafood buffet and then zip home.
When you talk with other businesses in the area, maybe other resort owners, bait shop owners, I know that's always big in that area because of the fishing, any of those small business owners, are you hearing, is there any uncertainty from them over what's happening with the gas prices this summer?
Well, we have several gas stations in the town of Park Falls. There are some talks about the uncertainty with what's going on overseas and that the blockade, as everybody knows, that's going on. Everybody's hoping for the blockade to stop, get everything moving and going again. And I think that'll take a lot of pressure off people's mindsets. I know that does weigh heavily on people's minds right now. What is going on overseas without getting really detailed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we are glad to hear that things not only at Lena's Northern Pines Resort in Butternut Lake, but all across the North Woods, by all indicators, people want to get away. As you said, Lena, it's the time of year where you're thinking, I got to get away from everything. And looking at Butternut Lake and that the whole North Woods area, that's the place to do it.
Yeah.
So continued success. Northernpines.net is the website. If you're thinking about going up there, check it out. Maybe go during the week. That'd be a great excuse to take some days off in the middle of the week. Then you're home by the weekend. You have those days off. Oh, it's great. Lena Motola is the owner of Lena's Northern Pines Resort. Again, northernpines.net. Lena, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you,
Lena. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lena.
There you go. It does the pictures.
It's gorgeous.
It looks exactly like where I'd want to be.
Yeah,
you know,
it's absolutely beautiful.
The cabins look great, and she had me at We Rent Pontoon Boats.
I
am on the lake nonstop.
I will tell you that having had the chance to on our own travel up in the North Woods, And then also because obviously Civic Media now has properties in the Northwoods. It is a, if you really want to get away and you just want to relax and you just want a slower pace of life, but you really love outdoors and you want the kids to be able to just run around, there are so many great resorts just like North Pines, for you, Northern Pines, for you to get up there and just live like a much easier few days, right?
Jamie, because since you're a suit, let me ask you this. how would a proposal to say, go up and community outreach to our properties in the North Woods. Maybe we do a week from Hayward and, you know, I have access to a pontoon boat and a cabin and Parker can push me around the lake.
I think if I make enough phone calls to the right people, we could probably get a couple of days in the North Woods. And I love going up there. The people are so incredible. I'm glad to hear that gas prices are not deterring people from taking their vacations up there. I am so excited because the people are awesome. The communities are fantastic. The scenery is beautiful. So I'm glad that people are still going up there, but it raises another question for me, right? Are people going to look, families especially, people looking for a vacation, because of the gas prices and because it's so expensive to travel right now, are places like Butternut going to become more mainstream while we're dealing with these economic issues? Because it is slower, even though you do have to pay the gas to get there, it's a little bit more inclusive, right? You're not paying for all of these other things. It's not big resorts that are super expensive. You're not doing the airfare. I wonder if places like Northern Pines do become more, you know, mainstream over the next few months while we deal with the economic issues.
Well, that's the gamble that they're taking. Based on the story that we saw on WPR and the Chamber of Commerce up there, they're counting on people saying, okay, instead of going on, you know, a coast-to-coast road trip or taking a flight somewhere with the whole family, we're going to stay a little closer to home, and there's plenty to do. And, you know, does a kid want to see Mount Rushmore? Sure. Does a kid want to go to Disney? Sure. But if a kid's out on the lake on a boat or fishing or hiking through the woods or just, you know,
doing fire pits and all that.
I saw a bear. I saw a deer. We made s'mores. That's a great vacation for a kid. It's a great vacation for an old man, too. Now that I'm saying it, I'm like, man, I'm painting a pretty good picture.
And I'm telling you, there is so my husband is a hammock person, right? Like my husband is the type of guy who loves to put a hammock up somewhere between two trees, and he's just going to nap there all day in the breeze. And I am telling you right now that if you want a slower vacation, right, and you're really thinking about it this year, the North Woods, no matter where you go up there, perfect hammock weather, perfect hammock atmosphere is what you're going to find.
Yeah, that all sounds terrific. Sitting out on the water all day, that's it. Well, listen, enough dreaming about beautiful scenery and enough talking about fun vacations. We have to turn our attention back to what's going on here.
No more fun.
No, the Wisconsin Senate is trying to kill our fun. They're still hoping to vote for this $1.8 billion surplus bill approval. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I could speak for all of us. Let it go. But what's your opinion on this? What do you think about the Senate trying to get us to re-vote for that, or them to re-vote for that proposed bill? You can get a hold of us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll talk to you about that after this. She's Jamie Martinson. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 22 minutes after 8. We're glad that you decided to join us today. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. Welcome. I'm Brian Noonan. This is, once again, and here's our question for you. Should the Wisconsin Senate just let the spending bill go? You voted on it. You said no. Then the Fiscal Bureau came out and said, well, guess what? It's going to actually cost us a ton of money. Should they just drop it? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Well, the Wisconsin Senate Republicans, much like our current administration, will not let things go. They said they could bring back the $1.8 billion tax and spending package if two more Republican senators change their votes and support the proposal. We were this close.
Don't you remember just a few days ago, though, when Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein basically said that there was no plans for a second vote?
No plans. We're not coming back. There's not going to be a special session. Put a cork in it. It's done. Well, the bill narrowly failed in the Senate last month after three Republican senators voted against it. So now a Marquette poll found that 80% of Wisconsin voters support the proposal. But that is misleading, right, Jamie?
Yes. It is very misleading, simply because I think I'm going to say that when this poll was actually done, 80% approved it. And then a few days later, we found out through a budget analysis what it would do to the state deficit, which was put the deficit into the red by more than this $2 billion surplus, by about a billion more. So about $3.5 billion into debt is where the state would go because of this particular bill. Then when Marquette redid that poll, the number of people who supported it went down to 69%. And at face value, it seemed like a really good deal, right? There were going to be rebate checks that were going to go out to Wisconsin residents, maybe a couple $100 here or there. And then, of course, it looked like there was going to be some short-term funding for the schools. I know for some people, it did not go deep enough because it really affected special education. And let's be clear, this would have been a Band-Aid on a long-going problem.
Of course.
But at face value, it looked like there was maybe something here until budget analysis dug much deeper. And then it turns out that it was the governor, Tony Evers, Speaker of the House, Robin Voss, and then Majority Leader, Devin LeMahieu, who basically put this bill together on their own with no support from any of the members of either party, which is why Democrats then were not accepting of this bill.
They didn't like it. They didn't like it. And it didn't fix the problem in total.
No, but it doesn't.
Nothing was getting done.
No.
Nothing was going to get done. And again, I'm a big enough guy to admit, when it first came out, I was all for
it. It looks like a good deal.
I was like, this is how you negotiate. And yes, I know all the problems. We got all these big problems, but let's short term. And then, when presented with new evidence, I'm unlike a MAGA voter. I am able to look at new evidence and say, oh, let me analyze this, and I changed my mind. And so now, no, you don't, this is not going to work.
No, it's not. And what I think is fascinating about this is even though Minority Leader Hesselbein is saying, no, there's a no-go on this bill, it's a non-starter, now we know that if two senators change their votes, the Senate could reconvene and then potentially send this vote to the governor for consideration. Because if two more Republicans decide to change their vote, they have enough to pass it. Now, Hesselbein this week said that Democrats are open to future compromise discussions. They want more certainty as a group about the state's projected budget surplus before they approve any sort of major tax cut and spending commitments. Governor Evers actually responded to Dianne Hesselbein, not directly, through an interview, and here's what he had to say.
I have not, in any time recently, I have not, and I doubt if their leader is saying no way, my guess is it's going to be no way because she controls what people get to do. You know, who's going to be head of the Joint Finance Committee on the Senate side? And I'm sure she's given promises there. She gives promises just like other leaders do. I haven't spent a lot of time doing that, but that's what happens in the legislature. I'm sure she's got people wrapped around her finger by giving them jobs that they want.
First of all, somebody should tell the governor not to play in traffic. I'm very worried about his safety. It sounded like trucks were zipping
near a road.
By. Oh, my gosh. I was like, Tony, get out. Watch out. Oh, somebody get the governor off the street.
He was near a road. Okay, he was under a grassy knoll, on a grassy knoll under a tree, but near a road.
No,
so that's
not,
you're
no grassy knolls either. Stop. No political figure should be on a grassy knoll.
No, they should not. This is probably about the equivalent of Tony Evers ever shots fired kind of saying, right?
Yeah.
Like that's essentially all you're going to get from him. But for Tony, that was a pretty bold statement. He doesn't usually criticize members of his party.
No.
And in this particular case, we've talked about this on the show. I don't know why this particular bill. I still don't understand why this governor is choosing, who has been very measured in his responses and done a very good job of being a steward of Wisconsin and trying to fix the finances. I don't know why why this is the bill he has his
yeah,
flag
it's,
on the hill kind of thing. I don't understand.
Fighting
it.
For it. In a crazy way. And none of them, and by them, Evers, Voss, and LeMahieu, have addressed the fiscal report that came out after. It hasn't come up, which doesn't make any sense because prior to that, boy, they were hammering on the surplus and they were hammering on how much it's going to save
Crickets
and how
now.
Much money we have. And they haven't said one word about this report, either to confirm it and address it or deny it. They haven't done anything, which is very, Parker, sus. I'm using that correctly? Yes.
It is sus.
Thank you. So it's very, very sus. When we come back, speaking of sus, the president is backing college sports. Why? We'll figure it out in Frank and Parker. Parker's a big sports guy. We'll get their perspectives on it after this. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 8:29 right now. Thank you for listening to the Civic Media Network.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. If you're in Appleton and Oshkosh, listening on WISS, or in Eau Claire, listening on 93.5 The Tap, or in Hayward on WBZH. Thank you so much for having us on. We do appreciate it. I am Jamie Martinson.
And my name's Brian Noonan, and I always wonder why I say my name. Not my name, but anyway, hi. Welcome. You want to jump in? I'm having an internal struggle, and I shouldn't do it with you.
It's okay.
It's all with me. But Frank, our executive producer, and Parker, our technical producer, are joining us for this because it involves sports. And Frank is a former sports station programmer, huge sports fan. Parker hosts a show on the weekends that runs about 187 times during the week called, Hot Takes with Parker.
Make the call.
The Beardless Prognosticator. What's the name of your show?
Oh, no, we're going to have to rename the show now that I don't have a beard.
We are going to have to rename the show. It's much different now.
So we're glad you guys are joining us because President Trump has endorsed the Protect College Sports Act of 2026. Now, I didn't know college sports was in danger, but it's a bipartisan bill. It's aimed at creating nationwide rules for college athletics as schools, athletes, and conferences navigate the rapidly changing NIL landscape. The legislation would limit athletes to one penalty-free transfer, cap college eligibility at 5 years, prohibit former professional athletes from competing in college sports, and establish a rule preventing schools from hiring another team's head coach before that coach's season is complete. Now, I thought some of those rules were already in place. It will also provide additional antitrust protections for the NCAA, address conference realignment issues, and create new guidelines for how conferences negotiate and sell media agreements. The president said college sports have become increasingly difficult to manage because of lawsuits, NIL deals, transfer portal movement, and rising costs, warning that schools could face financial strain without clearer national standards. We know that's been a big conversation at UW-Madison. It's been a big conversation all over, trying to get money brought in so that schools can navigate this NIL stuff. A lot of it I don't understand. The transfer portal I don't get. But so we'll turn to the host of Make the Call and our own curmudgeonly sports expert, Frank. Guy, can you boil this down? What's the deal? What are we doing?
Parker, go ahead.
I will.
Wow, civility.
While we were off in the break, we were saying that you guys were saying that you guys are kind of suspicious a little bit of this, and what's the motivation?
Yeah, what's the motivation?
I, honest to God, I think that this is exactly why Donald Trump wanted to be president.
to fix college sports?
Yes, I honestly do, because
okay.
I think that it matters to him so much that he gets to host the World Cup this year, that he gets to host the Olympics in a couple of years. I think that that stuff is so important to him. He's at all of these different sporting events all the time. I think he genuinely really cares about college sports, and that's what he's doing this for.
No, is it partly because it endears him to that fan base?
That's right? What
especially
it is.
That especially in the southern, especially in the southern states, because obviously this is going to involve some of those really big colleges who have some of the top athletes, right? And so those are the ones who get picked up in a lot of the times in the portals that they're transferring because they want more opportunities. And I think to Parker's point, it endears the president a little bit to that particular fan base a little bit more, you know, and I think that's what it is. We've seen him actually go to some of these events where he gets booed, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if you're trying to fix college sports, you know, to what Parker's saying, does it make you a more likable character for those fans that booed you?
I knew there was something cooking, and you guys bring up a good point. I don't think it will. I think the college sports fans are looking at this, and you know, if their school is benefiting from the transfer mm-hmm. portal, or if they have boosters and alumni who are given a lot of money that they don't have to deal with NIL, they don't need the president to fix it, and they don't need a bipartisan commission. But it's not a government issue. I don't believe.
No.
I think it's up to the NCAA to work on it and figure it out. And they better figure it out fast because it's not going anywhere. And I don't know. I think having pro athletes not play in college makes sense. I think limiting college, you know, the eligibility requirement of 5 years, that makes sense. I don't know how you've, again, I don't know how to fix the transfer portal because yeah. I don't understand it. I do think kids,
it doesn't make sense.
I do think athletes should be able to make some money. I'm a fan of NIL just because mm-hmm. the universities make so much money off of, especially the primary sports, but it does help lesser sports down the aisle. So I'm good with all that. But so what's going to change, Frank? What does this proposed act do that isn't already being done?
Basically puts everybody on a level playing field in theory, because right now with NIL and
did Frank freeze?
Oh, that's an untimely.
Everyone needs to introduce. My God, this is going to become the Wild Wild West, because can you hear me?
You froze for just a second.
Okay. Of course. We knew this was going to become the Wild Wild West when this was proposed, because there's every conference does something differently, right? We mm-hmm. saw this during COVID, where the mm-hmm. commissioner wouldn't come in, or the president of the NCAA didn't say, here's how the schedules are going to look. The SEC had a different number of games than the Big Ten. There's not one unifying factor for this.
From what I understand, to your point, that's the problem the Big Ten and SEC are having with this bill, is because it isn't addressing all of the differences from state to state. And they're saying that it could create all of these new legal disputes and may not actually provide the flexibility for college athletes so that they can adapt to any of these changes. They're also concerned because this particular bill includes provisions that would prevent the Big Ten and SEC.
That's their actual problem, Jamie.
Yes.
This is their issue. The Big Ten and the SEC view themselves yeah. as better than every other conference.
Yeah.
There's in Division I football, there are multiple divisions.
They wouldn't be able to become a super league, is essentially what they want to do, correct? If
yes,
I understand this correctly.
And now they're starting to mess with how TV deals are set up, which is what the root of everything is.
Yes.
If you follow the money, it's the TV deal. That's what it really all comes mm-hmm. down to. It's not about the players getting paid. I think this will be good, because like what I was going to say about NIL is we've passed name, image, and likeness. NIL deal can now mean endorsement from mm-hmm. a car dealership yeah. to bring in a 5-star recruit that's going to transfer out. Now, when that's first started happening, everybody in the sports world said, this is really bad.
Yeah.
This needs to be fixed. And you even have Nick Saban speaking up on it, who was infamously had multiple bag men that would come and drop off illegal money to recruits, allegedly.
Allegedly, Frank.
Yeah, he just testified. Part of the bipartisan effort with this is Senator Ted Cruz. They held hearings in Washington just this earlier this week on this particular bill. Nick Saban was one of the main individuals who is testifying in front of the Senate committee. There were several people at that particular table, but Nick Saban got a majority of the questions as somebody who has been involved as a coach for not only college level, but also professional level. So obviously the senators had a lot of questions directed specifically for Nick Saban.
What's keeping the NCAA from actually, you know, they love to pretend they're in charge with all different other kind of minor situations. Mm-hmm. Why are they so hesitant to sit everybody down and go, this is how it's going to be? We're going to, even if they gerrymander the maps a little, to go, okay, the conferences can't be, you can't make the Big Ten into 14 teams. It just doesn't make sense. And I know that's an old argument, but it's still the same thing. It's like, how do these, and is Missouri really in the Southeast? I don't think so. So, you know, yeah, the SEC is a powerhouse division. The Big Ten's a powerhouse division, but they're, why can't the NCAA do something? Why won't they?
Here's something that I uncovered couple years ago when this
investigative
was all first,
reporting.
Yes, well, it's it's not even investigative. I don't think many people think about it. The NCAA, we've found out the NCAA really doesn't have any control over college football.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
look at the national championship. That is not an NCAA sanctioned event.
No,
it's true.
It's ESPN. It's the TV deals. They crown the national champion. The NCAA doesn't do it. They have no say in anything. If the Big Ten wants to do something or the SEC wants to do something, they're going to do it because they can make a ton of money off of it, and the NCAA can just take a step back and go, oh, okay. They have no power. They may over college hockey. They may have over college soccer, even basketball. That's an NCAA sanctioned event. They all get the same rectangular trophy at the end. College football playoff trophy, go look at it. Drastically different. NCAA has no power in this, and they've watched it slip every single year.
Can I ask you a question? You know, we're talking about some of the big schools, and so I look at Wisconsin in general. Obviously, we're talking about UW and Madison. Is there any potential for this affecting some of the smaller colleges as well?
If there's more guardrails up, in theory, it could protect a school like Madison, who's drastically been hit by the NIL Wild West, because there aren't enough people ponying up the money that, let's take Indiana, for example, when you have alumni like Mark Cuban, who's just going to pump FU money into the program just because he can, because why not? And they're winning national champions. A place like Wisconsin, you know, it's already tough enough with the cold weather that you have trying to get these big five-star recruits to go somewhere cold.
Yeah.
And if you can't pay them, you have no shot.
Yeah.
So if there are more guardrails up, Wisconsin could benefit from that.
So then, with all that being said, are you for this legislation or no? Or will it matter?
I think most of it I'm on board with. I think the five-year cap on eligibility, I think that gets a little dicey when you start looking at medical red shirts. My roommate in college his senior year tore his ACL in spring practice and missed his senior year, wasn't able to go to the combine and possibly go to the NFL because he was at a mid-major school and didn't have tape for his senior year, and people weren't going to take a gamble on him. And the NCAA denied him a medical red shirt. So I think that's where it gets really dicey, and I wouldn't agree with that portion. I think the TV deal thing's not going to go through.
Yeah.
I think the transfer stuff, yes, really good. I think coaches shouldn't be able to just go to a school once bowl season starts. If you're in the playoff, Lane Kiffin shouldn't have to go to LSU before he finishes his season.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parker, what's your take? Are you for this bill, against this bill? What do you think?
Largely for it. I think that this would stabilize the sport a lot, and I think that college sports fans, frankly, are just exhausted from trying to follow it all. It's so hard to follow all the transfers and everything. And the eligibility has gotten ridiculous with some of it. Some people are playing for like 8 years.
Yeah, that's no good. College is a 4-year, maybe 5-year deal. That's,
you know. Yeah.
But, all right. Hey, guess what? It's Friday. Guess what else? We're almost done, which means it's time to leave you on a high note. Dairyland Diaries is coming up next. Yeah, I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 848, you're listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 8:52 right now. I hope I'm supposed to talk. I don't have audio. When music plays over StreamYard. Okay, all right. I was I think I'm supposed to talk right now.
Yeah, we're jumping around.
We are jumping around. I wouldn't know that because it's dead silence on my end. I don't know. For some reason, when I'm remote, my music, I can't hear music. It's a thing, but here we are. It is time for Dairyland Diaries. This is where we focus on some of the non-political but really great stuff happening all throughout the state of Wisconsin. It's one of our very favorite segments. We love this one.
Yeah, because it does leave us in a good mood to end the week. And also, I gotta say, please, if you don't watch the stream every once in a while for the show within the show, Parker will on air. Let's be honest, he's okay.
Yeah.
But when we're in the show within a show, sometimes he lands them, and I about literally fell out of my chair. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not ruining it. You got to come in and join. That's all. All right, let's get to some Dairyland Diaries. This, for a certain section of Wisconsin and the populace, this is going to be a huge deal. The World Pinball Championship is coming to De Pere this weekend. 80 of the top-ranked competitive pinball players on the planet, a sentence I never thought I'd have to fit on my business card. They represent about more than 20 countries. We'll keep their eye on the ball as they battle it out this weekend at District 82 Pinball for the 21st annual Flipper Pinball Association's World Pinball Championship.
Wow.
Cue the who. Here we go. They all have supple wrists. We know that, Jamie.
Yes, you have
for District 82, the arcade that opened in 2018, hosting the most prestigious event in competitive pinball, is a bonanza of all bonus points. I've got it. This story is filled with things I never thought a competitive pinball world. I did not know. It's like being chosen as the host city for the Super Bowl, they say. The tournament bounces back and forth between cities in Europe and the United States. Austria hosted the last one, with the host site selected a couple of years in advance. It's likely a once-in-a-lifetime honor for District 82, which is home to one of the largest tournament-quality pinball collections in the country. Now, you may be saying, how do people get invited? Well, they earn an invitation to compete in the championship based on their ranking from tournaments throughout the year. Some of them spend years traveling internationally and competing in hundreds of events in hopes of making it to the championship. This weekend's group is made up of men and women of all ages and includes Appleton's own Neil Graff. He's our odds-on favorite. Parker, you should cover this on What's My Line, your big sports show. So make sure you're doing that.
I'll be there.
Play by play.
District 82 has more than 100 pinball machines, ranging from 70s classics to new introductions. Themes like Kiss and Godzilla, the Flintstones, and Dolly Parton. Tournament directors selected 66 machines that will be played 22 from three different eras, ensuring that the champ will have to be good at every area to win. This sounds like a ball.
Super awesome.
I don't know anything about it. I'm not good at pinball. I've played excessively over the years, but I would like to see what competitive pinball looks like.
I think this would be super, super fun to check out. Again, just in De Pere, so yeah. Not even that far if you're in Wisconsin. And then this story, this one's just creepy, but kind of cool at the same time. Giant bugs are taking over Milwaukee County Zoo in a new exhibit. Powerful pollinators have taken over the zoo for the summer and early fall. As part of this exhibit, when you visit, you can expect to see more than 20 enlarged animatronic models of the tiny critters that run our ecosystem. There is going to be a climbable structure and photo ops with larger than life bees, beetles, and other bugs, at least according to a statement from the zoo. Now, if you visit, you can also collect limited pollinator trading cards. Ooh, this is like Garbage Pail Kid cards way back in the day. So that you can unlock rewards with return visits and returns throughout the summer. Now, featured pollinators include the only bee protected by the Federal Endangered Species Act, the rusty patch bumblebee, as well as the goldenrod crab spider, the red band leaf hopper, and the hummingbird clearwing moth. Oh, those things are really neat to see when you see them floating around.
I have not heard of any of these, but they all, by their name alone, I'm like, I got to find out what a red banded leaf hopper is.
Like, I need to check these out. Now, if you want more information and a little bit more fun on these bugs, the zoo is also going to hold activity series days from 10 until 2. That's Wednesday, every Wednesday until Labor Day. These days feature expanded interactive content, which is really great for kids between the ages of 3 to 9. Zoos, when you are a parent and you have young kids, it is what you do. You hang out and the kids have a great time.
Were your kids ever into bugs? Their thing?
Dexter was into frogs. That's what Dexter was into. Dexter was my frog kid. We had a window well where critters hopped in all the time. And every morning he'd come in all gloved up with this new critter to show me and shove in my face at 6 a.m. because he'd find it in the window well. Here, Mom, look at this. Oh honey, that's a rat. You should probably take that outside.
Your son was Robert F. Kennedy back in the day, just grabbing snakes and rats and toads.
We called him Steve Irwin. We're like, what are you? Like, what? Seriously, what are you right now?
I like that he had no fear, though. That's pretty cool.
He did not. He would glove up even, and he'd go out there with his little hat, his jammies, and bring me in a critter at 6 a.m. It was something, because it was a deep window well, so every night there was something new in there.
Oh, something was in there. Oh, yeah. Geez. And would he climb into the window well, or...
Oh, yeah, because he could just step right down into it.
Oh, my God.
Huh. Yeah, no, he'd step right in. He'd pick it up with his little gloves, and then he'd bring it inside to show his mommy, which was very lovely, and I'm glad I taught him to share.
Yes,
some things your kids should not share.
Nice. No, and I know dinosaur kids. I haven't met a bug kid, but we've got some bugs. Real quick, Onalaska is a grand opening of their expansion at Dash Park. It includes a splash park, so if you're in Onalaska today, they're having a big ribbon cutting. That's Dairyland Diaries. Ending the week on an uplifting positive note, whether it's giant bugs or pinball wizards, we bring it all to you here on Daybreak. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening this week. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. Thank you again for another week. We will be back on Monday on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.